Johnson Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The holiday weekend rushes on. KCAL-TV's Rick Montanez reports from Los Angeles' LAX airport.
224,000 passengers expected to pass through LAX today alone. And tomorrow will be much busier, according to the airport, which expects nearly 230,000 passengers. Slightly fewer will fly on Saturday, but by Monday, over a million passengers expected to come through LAX for this Labor Day weekend.
A day after Hurricane Idalia slammed into Florida's Big Bend region, residents are picking up the pieces. In Punta Gorda, Ashley Harris says in her house,
like Erie, as all the water started coming up through the floor. It wasn't even through the front door. It's just every corner of the house, just through the floorboards, all throughout the house.
KTBT-TV's Jason Allen.
Meanwhile, in Washington, President Biden visited FEMA headquarters and promised help for those who need it.
We're making available federal assistance for Florida survivors whose homes are damaged or destroyed.
The president said he plans to visit Florida on Saturday.
X, formerly known as Twitter, plans to start collecting biometric and job history data on users. Tech expert Ian Schur explains why this
move. It's likely that a lot of these features are going to be used for stuff like passwordless login, which is a popular growing trend on the internet, where your phone's fingerprint sensor or facial recognition features are used to log into websites instead of having to memorize or keep a list of passwords.
Two more teenagers have been arrested in a mass shooting at a summer block party in Baltimore earlier this summer. Two people died and more than two dozen others were injured. Acting Police Commissioner Richard Worley identified one of the two suspects.
18-year-old Aaron Brown of Baltimore and a 14-year-old juvenile male of Baltimore were both served with warrants yesterday on multiple charges to include conspiracy to commit first-degree murder and multiple attempted first-degree murder charges.
Police arrested another suspect earlier this month and a fourth teen on a weapons charge. A judge in Clay County, Missouri, has ruled that an 84-year-old white man must stand trial on charges of shooting black teenager Ralph Yarl when he showed up at the wrong house in April to pick up his siblings. CBS's Christopher Cruz reports.
Yarl was released from the hospital 4 days later. The same day Lester was arrested. Yarl testified at Thursday's preliminary hearing. He said he was shot in the head, the impact knocking him to the ground, and was then shot in the arm.
Pope Francis is now in Mongolia, the first pope to visit the landlocked Asian country. He's there to encourage one of the world's smallest and newest Catholic communities. The visit comes as Vatican relations with Mongolia's neighbors, Russia and China, are strained. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
If this were a Reese's TV ad, you'd be staring at a Reese's peanut butter cup. And sure, my voice is peanut buttery smooth, but still, you need to see the peanut butter cups, right? No? I can really just say Reese's and you'll go get some? Okay, Reese's. 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 Really working, actually. Reese's. Reese's. This, I'm on to something. Reese's. 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 Reese's.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
Mainly clear skies overnight with lows around 50. Southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 85 tomorrow. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow night, lows around 63. Mainly cloudy skies expected Saturday with daytime highs approaching 91. 99 Sunday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 64.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Is that word?
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever. You can say it both ways.
I think it's indicates.
Indicative? Is that the word you were looking
that
for?
That is a good word, Kristen Bryant.
A friend wouldn't make fun of somebody like for knowing a word. See, this is what I'm talking about, people. Kristen Bryant does not believe in friendship.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
All right. Kind of a different topic than normal for this morning, but how much did your car cost you? And I don't even know. I mean, the truth is, I'm thinking back on my car right now, and I know what my monthly payments are, but I actually, looking back at it,
don't remember.
Off the top of my head, don't remember. Because it was like, all right, well, what am I going to know? If I'm leasing, how much am I going to owe for how many months? Because you're not paying the full cost of the car.
Right.
But I'm curious as to what your current car cost you, because as of right now, there is only a single model that costs less than $20,000.
That's unreal.
Isn't that wild?
Yes.
There's only one new car left under $20,000. It's a Mitsubishi Mirage.
Does it have wheels?
It does have wheels.
Okay, good.
But I'm curious, just for context of how much more expensive things are, just in general, what did you pay for your car? 844-967-2789. And I guess also then, does this make you want to hold on to that car for as long as possible?
Drive it until the doors fall off.
Because so a Mitsubishi Mirage was the cheapest new car on the U.S. market last month. You know, and I think it's, you know, if public transit's not your thing, and most of our places, like, it's not an option.
Right.
Like, we don't have, unless you live, like, the East Coast is pretty good, but most of the state, most of the country, to be able to get around the way you need to get around either takes a lot of time, if you're going to take public transit.
For sure.
Or is actually just not possible. And so for the most part, we've built a lot of our state, cities, country in as a way that you need to have a car one way or another. So, but as of, so Cox Automotive found that Mitsubishi Mirage was the only new model going for less than $20,000 last month. And its average selling price is $19,205. But the middle-of-the-road new car cost, as of July 2023, middle of the road, what do you think it was, Jane?
Oh, I'm afraid. 32.
Higher.
36.
48.
Is the middle of the road?
It's the middle of the road. Up 30% since 2019.
Wow.
Yeah. And used cars are no better. The average July price for a used car was $27,000, which is also a hike from a 30% hike from 2019. And, you know, this is a strain on the family budget. Like, you think about, I was looking this up this morning as far as what the suggested budget breakdown is for your, you know, your monthly take home pay is this, and 30% should go to housing, and 10 to 15% should go to transit. And transit is not only your car payment, it's also gas.
And what about maintenance?
And maintenance, yeah. And if you get in an accident. But it takes over 42 weeks of median household income to cover the average car cost, the average cost of a new car. And on the top high of high prices, high interest loans are also now a burden, because a record 17.1% of new car owners had a monthly payment above $1,000 a month.
I can't even imagine.
How much you're supposed to be spending. Like, I was doing the math this morning, and if the median income in Wisconsin is around $67,000, at least according to this source, sometimes I see different ones, but it's always somewhere between like $50,000 and $70,000. So that means your take-home pay is a little more than $4,000 a month, which means that's what you should be spending on, like, your rent or mortgage is $1,000 a
right.
month, not a car.
Right.
So I'm just curious, how much did you spend on your car? Not a good thing or a bad thing, but just as you're putting this in context of how much did you spend on your car now? And even more, how much did you spend on your first car, if you remember that? 844-967-2789.
Tom from West Dallas. Good morning, Tom. What did you shell out for your wheels?
Well, actually, I've never bought new. I never saw the point in it. So basically, my last vehicle, I traded in two pickup trucks for one pickup truck plus $5,000. That pickup truck I'm still driving, it's an 01. I had a problem with it. I took it into the dealer to fix, which I knew was a dumb thing, but I did it anyways. And I, for giggles, went in to talk to a salesman. I spec'd out my 2001 Dodge Ram with a diesel engine for a brand new one. Now, granted, this is 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
My truck, brand new, 4 or 5 years ago, with all the bells and whistles that mine had, $63,000.
For all the bells and whistles.
And for everyone that my truck that I am currently driving has.
Oh, but just new.
But brand new.
Okay.
Also, I have been looking for another truck, but I want, what I want is a diesel, because I like my diesel. I pull a big trailer. I found a 98 Dodge Ram pickup truck, just like mine, but a few years older, used for
$15,000. Wow. Is that I'm guessing.
Granted, it looked like new, but it's used. It's a 22, or that was a 24-year-old truck.
Oh, and for a 24-year-old truck, yeah.
For a used truck, and I've seen them go anywhere between like $8,000 to $15,000 for a 20-some-year-old truck.
Yeah. Wow.
That to me is insane also.
Well, it's also, like, can anyone, because you, Jane, you said how much on your first car?
My first car was $8,000.
Which, again, we'll adjust for inflation. I'll get the inflation calculator up. But, like, do you think you could even find a car for less than $10,000 right now?
Not if you want wheels.
Yeah.
For used, you can, but it's you got to look and see what you're buying.
Yes.
You know,
likelihood of lemon high.
Well, yeah, you're gonna end up throwing so much money into maintenance or getting it up to speed. Is that worth it then?
Right. Now, I also bought an 01 VW Beetle. I'll never buy a VW again. I loved my Beetle, but just the things you had to do, you had to have special tools for it. I thought that was ridiculous. That I bought knowing that the transmission was not good on it. And
wait, what's wrong with the VW? Because I'm thinking about buying the VW Tiguan I drive now and buying my lease out. Should I not do that?
Well, I no.
Oh. No,
Tom says no.
There's even a guy on YouTube, Scotty Kilmer, who he just slams VWs, talking about like windshield wipers. There's a computer that runs the windshield wipers. There's no need for that. And if your windshield wipers go bad, well, now you're spending a few thousand bucks just because the computer went bad. But mine, granted, that was an 01. I needed special. I like to work on my vehicles. And I needed special tools to work on it for no reason.
All right.
I could just tell you, too, that it had the injection pump had plates on it, and one of those plates was leaking. Well, it had three normal bolts, and it had one special bolt that I had to buy a tool specifically for that. I'm like, why couldn't you just put four normal bolts? VWs used to be the people's car. They were simple to work on. Now, no. No,
well, I don't think I'm trying to work on my car anytime soon, but I will take that into consideration right. for what I do with my purchase. But thanks so much for the call, Tom.
Thanks a lot, Tom. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Scott from Chicago. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. Yeah, my first car was, I believe, about 4,000, needed about 1,000 repairs. Did not last very long. Second car, about 4,500, needed about 2,000 repairs, but that was also hybrid. And then my current car I actually bought from a friend for about 5,000, which was about 3,000 under market value. And, I mean, it's going great.
All right.
But also my friend repaired his own car and really kept it up and all that. So, yeah, I mean, anything under about 7 or 8, you're going to be putting in a few thousand in repairs.
Yeah,
for sure.
You're going to pay for it. I mean, that's like one way or another, you're probably going to pay over 10 grand, whether it's the cost of the car. But yeah, I mean, to even think that like used cars that are in good condition are
few and far between.
Yeah, totally.
Few and far between.
Thanks for the call, Scott.
844-967-2789. Text here from the 262. Seems like in the near future, the average American is going to have to pick between reliable transportation or owning a home.
I mean, maybe. Like, it's
so expensive.
It's so expensive of how you do both. Or, like, like I said, you come back to a place where, like, you need a car. In most places, you need a car.
844-967-2789. Dave from Mequon. Good morning, Dave. We got about 2 minutes.
All right. Good morning. Well, my first car, I spent $6,000, and it worked very well. I was happy about it. I actually, fortunately, have a friend of mine who is in the used car business, and so I always am able to get a very nice used car. I never, other than one time in my life, I've never purchased new. I purchased generally used. And I actually bought a few cars during COVID when Hertz was doing the bankruptcy and up picking up a couple cars there. They were just giving them away with almost no miles because nobody was driving them. And so I got lucky in that sense. But I would recommend, this is what I would recommend. I mean, some people, you know, obviously dealers are going to always charge more than a private owner would.
Yeah.
And I always strongly recommend trying to find a private owner just because the price that they're going to be asking is automatically going to be lower.
Yep.
And you probably will have a little bit of negotiating power in addition to that. And as long as the car's title's clean and you can get a Carfax, which is easy enough.
That's great advice. You know, Dave, we got to go to a break, so I got to cut you off. Yep. But thanks for always, as always, for your call. We're going to come back with more of your calls and texts. 844-967-2789. How much did your car cost? Your current car, your first car? Because right now, you can't buy a new car for less than $20,000. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Experience the magic. Joy Engine presents Nightlife, Friday and Saturday, September 8th and 9th. from 5 until 10:30 p.m., the dazzling live spectacle brings 4D projection mapping technology to Milwaukee's iconic historic Mitchell neighborhood. A multi-story building at 710 West Historic Mitchell Street will serve as the mesmerizing backdrop for the show. Nightlight will feature a fashion show, a variety of local vendors, dance performances, and music. After sundown, the event will set the grounds alight with an amazing motion graphic show. Families with children will have plenty of options to indulge in memory-making activities throughout the festival's run, including a life-size light bright wall and a hands-on multilingual exhibit presented by PNC Bank. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event, Nightlight, presented by Joy Engine, where art comes to life. Log on joyengine.org/nightlight. That's joyengine.org/NIT light.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
down he goes.
Won't...
intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Buffalo Bulls in Madison. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
I'm Tony Burrell, Superintendent of the Wisconsin State Patrol. Public safety is our primary mission. Every day, our troopers and inspectors work hard to keep people and commerce moving safely. But drivers need to do their part. That means following these simple rules. Buckle up, phones down, slow down. Thanks for helping us move towards zero deaths on Wisconsin roads.
A life-saving message, sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair, and we are talking about how much does your car cost you? Your current car, or maybe even your first car, although we have to adjust for inflation potentially, depending on if you're my age or Jane's age.
There's a big difference there.
But, and I'm asking this because I saw a headline this morning that there is only one new car left under $20,000, and it's a Mitsubishi Mirage. That the average selling price is around $9,200.
$19,200.
And you know, some of this is to do with the fact that America loves big ass cars.
and even bigger trucks.
And you're about to go to Europe. And the land of tiny cars.
Yes.
And I always think about that the handful of times I've been lucky enough to go to Europe is just how little their cars are, which makes sense because there's so many other cities are more compact. And so being able to actually get into parking spaces and getting around and the streets are more narrow. But America has an obsession with supersized cars. And so the fact is, with that supply and demand, car makers have ditched affordable compact vehicles. And you add on top of that pandemic-related supply chain snags, and you just have kind of created a situation where cars are really expensive.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Rick from Wisconsin Rapids. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. I appreciate the conversation that you're all having, and I just wanted to weigh in on it.
Absolutely.
Okay. So the first car that I bought was a Plymouth Duster, and I paid $700, and the body was pretty far along in its decrease, but that car ran forever. It was a good engine.
Yep.
It was a good deal. The car I have now is a Chevy Cobalt. I paid $3,000. I was out of budget, and I wanted to pay cash. I've had it for more than 2 years. It's a good runner. There's some other features that I'm not thrilled about. No air conditioning.
Oh boy!
And it would cost me a lot. But I'm very satisfied that for $3,000, and it's been running for more than 2 years.
All right.
That I got a good deal. But can I mention one more thing with the conversation?
Sure.
Or not? Well, I just want to tell you about an experiment I did. You were talking about the cost and how can people afford to have a decent car and to have a place to live. I'm not going to fix it. And instead of buying another car, I went on bicycle for 5 years from the time I was age 59 to 64, even in the winter.
Wow.
Wow. Winter in Wisconsin Rapids, and you were on a bicycle?
I was the nut that people looked at when it was 28, 25 below the wind chill and said, what is that guy doing?
I'm going to ask my parents. I'm going to say, did you see a guy riding a bike in Wisconsin Rapids? That was Rick.
And Rick, unfortunately, your line is not very good. You're kind of popping in and out a little bit. So thank you so very much for calling. Really, really appreciate it. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Price from Texas. Good morning, Price.
Hey, I know you got people waiting. I'll keep her under 60 seconds. But our hybrid was about 24. That was a 2017 that we got new, but it was like the last one. We got it like the year after. They're trying to get rid of it. Our SUV was an older one, 2011, so that was about 12. And we had payments on that for a long time. We finally got them paid off. But one thing, just tell everybody. They're going to be set. And if you got a decent car, they're going to be sending you, hey, you want to trade in your car? Yeah. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because used cars are so expensive now, they're just going to flip those cars and make money. It's better to keep that car right now.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Price.
Oh, no. I just wanted to say this, but also with how expensive cars are and how expensive gas is and repairs and everything. It's a public policy failure for public transportation. Public transportation down here in Texas sucks. It's awful. Yeah. I miss Chicago and I miss Milwaukee, even with the buses. The buses were way better. And also, like, work from home, the concessions have to be made, because if people can't afford, if people have the internet at home and they can work at home, they should be able to, because it's so expensive to commute.
Yeah.
But, and that's about it, man. Public transportation would help out a lot, but. Let's go. And that's it for me. Have a great day.
Thanks so much, Price.
Thanks a lot,
Price. Appreciate it as always. Well, and that's the situation I found myself in. So my lease is up in November. And besides starting this job, so it's been a little over a year now that I've been mostly commuting to Waukesha, except some days doing the show from home. But for the most part, I'm here. And but prior to that, I mean, it was the pandemic. And so I wasn't really driving a lot at all. And even when I got the car originally in LA for the first, I mean, we only had it for about 6 months before the pandemic started. So there's only like 35,000 miles on it.
Oh, wow.
So Mike, I got to the dealership and they were pushing me hard.
I bet.
To trade it in, upgrade my lease to a newer car. And like they would, you know, all the kind of little dings and stuff that they would just take care of.
Sure.
And I'm not a car person. So I'm like, okay, what? And I'm way too trusting. So I'm just gonna like, okay, whatever. Like, sure.
That's
like
good.
I'll bring the, but of course I've now, this is like the gendered part of my marriage. There's not a lot of it, but sometimes it comes up. And when it comes to like negotiating car stuff, definitely one of them. So Mike looked at everything. He goes, no, they're just trying to get you. They want your car.
Yes.
They want your car so they can flip it.
And make
a ton of money on it.
Exactly.
He's like, you've basically a new car. And I think we figured it out, like, my last, I'd owe like $11,000 or something on it as far as where the lease was and versus now. He's like, you're not trading it in. You're going to buy this car. And so it's like, okay,
all
I don't
right
care.
Then.
Like, this is fine. As long as I get new snow tires so the baby's safe, like, I'm fine, whatever. But that is exactly what Price said as far as, and the pressure was hard.
For sure.
Sales guys, man.
One last text from the 262. I drive a Honda Insight. Think Toyota Prius size. My friends in England would call that their big car.
Yeah, see? All right. Well, when we come back, it is Tuesday at 10:30. So let's recombobulate with the one and only Dan Schaefer, because we have a debate coming up on Wednesday, and he has thoughts. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
When you think about early labor unions, do you think of Wisconsin? You should. The state's first labor union formed in Milwaukee in 1847 when the bricklayers organized, then the Carpenters Union in 1848. The National Labor Union didn't even form until 1866. A State Historical Society report shows Wisconsin's union members also pushed for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance legislation, becoming a model for other states. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg. Blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
As long as there are veterans, the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Mainly clear skies overnight with lows around 50. Southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 85 tomorrow. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow night, lows around 63. Mainly cloudy skies expected Saturday with daytime highs approaching 91. 99 Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 64.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, a Wisconsin bookstore owner and cryptozoologist. is asked to investigate a series of deaths that just might prove a fabled lake monster is real. With her rescue dog, Newt, by her side, Morgan goes on a hunt, but if she's not careful, she could be the next victim. That is the short description of the first installment of a new mystery series by USA Today bestselling author and our guest right now, Wisconsin author Beth Amos. How are you doing, Beth?
I'm doing great, thanks. Glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you on the show. So that is, I just saw on your Facebook page, as of August 10th, Death in Door County Death in Door County has become a USA Bet Today bestseller as of last week?
Correct. That
congratulations.
Is
correct. Yes.
Congratulations. That's so
Thank
exciting.
You. Wow.
It is, yeah.
And so it was about a decade ago that the last time you made that list, right? So which book was that for?
It was for a book called, I'm trying to remember for sure which one. I think it was Lucky Stiff. It was one of the Maddie Winston books, and actually the publisher had put it on sale, and that prompted a bunch of sales, which managed to get it onto the list a little higher up on, a little lower, I guess, on the list than this one hit, and it was my first time hitting, so that was fun, but yeah, it's been 10 years or more, I think, since that happened, so this was exciting.
That's very exciting. So before we jump into the different series that you've done, the different pseudonyms you've written under. Just tell us a little bit more, because you're based in Wisconsin. Your journey to becoming like a mystery novelist?
Well, I actually started out as a medical freelancer with my writing career. I was a nurse, and I always wanted to do writing and read a lot. And so I managed to segue some of my writing interests at the hospitals that I worked at into writing articles for their magazines and things like that. And that business grew. That was when I lived in Virginia. And then I ended up, once I sold my very first book, which was actually a Dean Koontz type of book, not so much a mystery, but more of a thriller, a paranormal thriller, I decided to step away from nursing for a few years and focus on my writing, and made enough money off of my freelance work for probably about 6 years to stay away from nursing. But I kind of missed it and the camaraderie of working with those folks. And I had an idea for a new series that I wanted to do. And my first three books, all of which were Dean Koontz type paranormal thriller books with HarperCollins. Before the third book came out, HarperCollins did some shifting around in the whole publishing industry back then. This was in the late 90s, was kind of worried about what was happening with ebooks, and there was a lot of merging going on and selling going on, and a lot of authors were getting shifted around and dropped, and I was one of the people that got dropped from HarperCollins. So, and then about a year and a half later, my agent got frustrated and she decided to retire and leave the business. So my writing career kind of came to a screeching halt. And I had another project I was working on where I wanted to use the humor of the medical people that I've worked with over the years, because they're just some of the funniest people that I've ever encountered. You need to have a sense of humor to work in the medical field.
Yeah.
That it's kind of a dark sense of humor at times, but I wanted a way to utilize that in my writing. And I kept trying to make sort of a funny mystery series, and I had it set in Virginia because that's where I lived at the time when I started writing it, and it just wasn't working. And then I moved to Wisconsin, and as I got to know Wisconsin, I rewrote the book and put it in Wisconsin, because Wisconsin's just quirky enough and strange enough and weird enough that it all worked. And funny enough. I mean, people in Wisconsin are funny, too. They have great senses of humor. And I had gone back to work in nursing, working in the emergency department, which is a great source for characters and plots and all kinds of things. So eventually I got that first book written. It took me a while to find another agent, had one and fired him in the process. So it was about 8 years, I think, in between my third book with Harper coming out and the first book with this new series coming out. And that was at with Kensington, which is a New York publisher, but a smaller family-owned publisher. And I had to come up with a new name to publish under, because my own name, Beth Amos, was now dirt because my third book with HarperCollins hadn't sold very well because they dropped me before it came out. So they didn't do anything to market it or, you know, sell. I mean, they basically did nothing. So the sales were terrible, and book buyers have very long memories apparently. So they wanted me to come up with a pseudonym to publish under, market me. Newly discovered author. Plus, I was working in the ER at the time, and I really didn't. My character is a, you know, solving mysteries, and I didn't want my patients knowing that I spent my spare time thinking up fun ways to kill people. So it seemed like a pseudonym was a good idea. And I came up with Annalise Ryan because my son's name is Ryan and my middle name is Anne. And it was going to be initially just Anne Ryan, but they said that was too common. They wanted something a little more unique. So Annalise was my name in German class in high school. So I said, okay, Annalise Ryan. And they liked that. And Annalise Ryan was born. And she's doing much better in her career than Beth Amos is. So
that is so, but then there's also Allison Abbott. Right.
Well, there is, because yes, about five books into my Annalise Ryan, Maddie Winston series, the nurse who goes to work for a coroner in a small town in Wisconsin, my editor there said, you know, I've always envisioned a series that takes place in a bar, kind of like a Cheers setting with, you know, characters that are recurring and they can solve mysteries. And he said, can you put something together like a proposal for me? And I said, sure. So I did. And he loved it. And then he said, you know, we love it and we're going to contract for a couple of books in this. And there's just one little catch. We need you to come up with a new name and a new pseudonym. And I was like, why? And he said, because Annalise Ryan and the Maddie Winston series was about five books in and they weren't sure yet if it was going to take off or if it was going to tank. And then they didn't want the Annalise Ryan series to affect the new series. And they didn't want the new series, if it tanked, to affect the Annalise Ryan series. And they wanted another newly discovered author that they could pitch out there. So this time I got a little more strategic with my pseudonyms. And I know that if you go in a bookstore and you walk up to the mystery section, all of the A's are on the top shelf at eye levels. It's very easy to find and grab. I know that because Beth Amos was up there with one little book and then V.C. Andrews had the whole rest of the shelf. But anyway, that was up there. And V.C. Andrews was dead at that point, but still writing. So I decided I was going to pick a last name that started with A. And so I came up with Abbott, A-B. That's pretty close to the front. And then I got a little sly about it and came up with a first name and a middle initial so that the initials for the whole thing were A.K.A., since it was another pseudonym.
Yeah.
And so
I like that
was my little inside joke. And my editor got it right away. The minute I sent him the email with the new name, he sent an email back 30 seconds later and said, nice little trick. I love it. And so that's how Allison K. Abbott became born. And that series was a six-book series, kind of planned that way, and then ended. So Allison K. Abbott's not writing anything anymore at this point. But Annalise Ryan went on to write 12 books in the Maddie Winston series, plus a two spinoff books from that series. And then Kensington decided that they weren't going to do any more of those books. And I was once again back at square one trying to relaunch my career. So I spent the year of COVID writing a book that I thought my agent was really going to love, something different. I thought this is a chance to exercise my writing muscles and use some of the plots that I've been storing away. And so I wrote this book that I thought my agent was just going to love, and he absolutely hated it. And so I ended up shelving it. And it took place in Door County, and I had done a lot of research in Door County because I vacation up there a lot. And I decided when we were talking on the phone and deciding not to do anything with the book he hated, we started brainstorming and we came up with the idea. He said, well, you know, what kind of things do you like? You know, and I said, well, I like books and I like the X-Files and I like, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's how we kind of came about the idea of A Death in Door County. And so Wisconsin, as it turns out, has plenty of cryptids that we can play with and move around the state with. So, yeah, that's how the series got started.
If you're just joining us, we are talking to Beth Amos, a.k.a. Annalise Ryan, a.k.a. Allison Abbott, who is a Wisconsin author. And so that is what I actually think is fascinating, because the story is you know, the cryptozoologist and bookstore. It's also funny because I feel like ER nurse and author. Like you said, when you got to Wisconsin, like, what is it about Wisconsin, like, that was so different from Virginia that it itself is a character in itself that is ripe to write about?
Well, when I lived in Virginia, I lived in a bigger city. I lived in Richmond. The culture there is very much still the North versus the South. There's okay. people there that still think we're fat in the woe of Northern aggression. And it just has a different feel to it. And when I moved to Wisconsin, I moved into a very small town, like so many in Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
full of small towns, and there's a lot of rural farmland around. And there were things, you know, in the newspaper, like you'd read the police blotter, and it would be, you know, somebody getting ticketed for parking their tractor at the local bar, or a cow running loose down Main Street, or the number of bars there are in town is compared to the number of churches, and it's just the whole cheesehead thing, and unfortunately some of the alcohol culture, but yeah, it's very quirky and different, and it's friendly, super friendly. People are very friendly here. And that was very different from where I came from in Virginia. But I had lived in other small towns, and I think it was as much the small town setting as the Wisconsin setting.
And so with the book, so A Death in Door County, and then with, like, how does that go? And like, how has that inspired then the next book that's coming out in December?
Well, the next book is actually taking place in Bayfield, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Up around Lake Superior in the Apostle Islands.
I love Bayfield.
The Shawamigan Forest. Yeah, it's beautiful up there. And there's a lot of Bigfoot traditions and
okay.
lore up there. And so Bigfoot will be the second cryptid that we're going to explore. And I'm already contracted and working on book three, which will... be taking place in Rhinelander. Can you guess what that cryptid's going
Ooh,
to be?
Is it maybe going to be the Hodag?
Yeah, it's going to be a Hodag. So, yeah.
So wait, what's
you
the...
would do well in my cryptid trivia.
So what is the cryptid in Lake Michigan?
I guess you'll have to read,
have to
the,
read
book
the book.
To find
That's
out.
Fair, but mm-hmm. Bigfoot, Hodag, but the mystery.
It's based on... I don't know if you can see this.
I can see
the Loch Ness Monster.
Okay.
Yes. So
I did not know that about Lake Michigan.
There are cryptids in all of the Great Lakes. There are myths and rumors and stories. They have different names here and there, but there's all kinds of cryptid stories in the Great Lakes. And given their geographical structure, it's certainly possible that something is existing down there in the depths. And we just haven't seen it yet or haven't identified it yet.
That is awesome. So you're enjoying writing for Morgan. Morgan Carter is the main hero in this series. It's a little different than Maddie was in your last series, but it seems like she has many adventures ahead of her.
She indeed does. Yes. Her and her dog, Newt. She doesn't go anywhere without Newt. So, yeah.
Great dog, Dave. All right. Well, we have to let you go because we're running up against a break. But Beth, this was so fascinating. I have so many more questions about the pseudonym thing, but I'll have to ask you offline because that is like, I didn't know that existed they're like, no, we need you to be a new person so we can sell this book. Thanks. And so
yeah, it does make marketing a challenge.
Absolutely. So A Death in Door County is available now. Death in the Dark Woods will be available in December. Beth Amos, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Have a great day. All right, we'll be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Call your local Bug Tussle rep today to find out how you can get free internet service. For Monroe, Juneau, and Adams counties, call Josh at 608-322-2190. For Jackson County, call Rhett at 715-771-3535. For Clark, Marathon, Wood, and Portage counties, call Ashley at 920-501-8717. And for Wisher and Wapaka counties, call Kate at 920-401-5470.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Buffalo Bulls in Madison. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield on Wisconsin.
Wake up and text. Text and eat.
Mm-mm.
Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and it is going to be hot this week, where you are.
Dangerously hot.
Much of Wisconsin is going to have a heat index above 100 this week, and specifically for tomorrow and Thursday, likely the hottest days of the year, they're expecting.
Oh, yeah.
So be careful.
I mean, we're talking about 111... 113. That's not the actual temperature, but that's what the heat index is going to feel like with the humidity and everything. So these are crazy, crazy temperatures. First and foremost, if you work outside, and I'm sure you got, you know, you already know this, but you got to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Mailmen, roofers. I just think of all the people who, that, you know, landscapers.
Yeah. Post the mail. Yeah. Like you just said, mailmen, but like, FedEx worker, like it's
exactly.
so many people that, like, when you can't actually just, but also I saw something yesterday, I think Todd Elbow talked about this on his show yesterday. There's certain, because of the landlord laws, there's still, like, you could, there's landlords who can forbid you from having an air conditioning unit.
Oh man.
And so there's certain people who just don't, you know, we say, like, we're lucky enough to work in an air conditioned building, live in an air conditioned home, but there's a lot of people who still don't have air conditioning and, like, just have to rely on fans. Or maybe tomorrow's a good day to go see Barbie if you haven't seen it
go
yet.
Go see Barbie, go to a library.
Yeah.
Go take a long grocery shopping trip.
Yeah.
You know, just to get out of the heat. And it's the same warnings, but I think there's value in repeating them. Don't take your dog with you tomorrow.
Don't leave your dog in the car.
Don't leave your dog in the car. Honestly, they can suffocate in minutes when it's this hot. Same with children and the elderly.
Yeah.
So if you have an elderly neighbor or an elderly relative and you know they don't have air conditioning, you need to check on them to make sure that they're going to be okay.
Well, and I just feel so lucky because I had a friend who asked me, who lives in, well, they just moved from Houston to Rio de Janeiro, but that's a Yeah, that's a big jump. But she was saying, obviously, because they're on the other side of the equator, getting used to, you know, what is winter for them right now is still not really winter. But she's used to the humidity because they lived in Houston for the last, whatever, 10 years.
And Houston's built on a big swamp.
Mm-hmm. And but she asked, she's like, how's Wisconsin been with the heat? Like, have you guys had the same heat as Texas? And I was like, absolutely not. And, you know, I do feel fortunate that we have like 2 days of this versus so much of the South that is, this has been their whole summer.
Can you imagine?
Week, just day after day, right, over like 110 degrees.
And week after week after week. And I think it might have been a day that you were gone, Kristen. But in Arizona, the ERs were getting overwhelmed with people burning themselves.
Oh, you told me. Yeah, we talked about this. Yeah. They fell on the sidewalk.
Right. It's just crazy.
And, you know, I don't want to end necessarily on a
downer,
but it is. It's like if you track this summer and, you know, this over the weekend, it was the tropical storm Hillary with the hurricane that hit Southern California. We're dealing with the Maui wildfires. And we've had like these heat domes like across the country. But just a reminder that hurricane season basically starts now. So we're not even through what will be inevitably probably more natural disasters that are coming for the fall.
Yeah.
So
it's all related, folks.
Speaking of which, have you seen how hot it is in Europe where you're going to be going as of Thursday? Have we talked about that?
Not really. London looks a little chilly, upper 60s, lower 70s. It can really vary when you're in London because they've had some heat as well, and a little rain. So, but again, that's London. It's an island.
It is an island.
It is an island.
Let's talk more. Let's actually end on a happier note. Let's talk about your trip because this is the last day I'm going to see you until September 12th.
Yes.
Which is the longest time you and I have gone without seeing each other.
In over a year.
Maybe even more than that, because before we were at the same place and I saw you daily for like a year and a half.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God, what am I going to do?
You will have Greg Bach.
I will have Greg Bach.
You will have
Greg
Bach.
Tell people about your fun vacation that you're finally taking.
Yeah, we are going to London for about 3 days, and then we're going to go to Dubrovnik in Croatia.
Ooh.
Where they filmed some parts of Game of Thrones. So it's a very, very ancient city. It's one of those old walled-in cities. We like old rocks, my husband and I.
Okay.
We like climbing on old rocks and looking at old rocks and talking about the history of the rocks. And I've talked to several people who have been to Dubrovnik, and they have all said that 3 days is about enough.
Okay.
And then we are going to the Algarve area of Portugal, which is like the southern coastline of Portugal, for about 9. So we try to do our educational portion of the trip, because when we're in London, we'll probably go to the National Portrait Gallery.
Okay.
I haven't been back there for many, many years. And we like to hit some museums and do some cultural things and try and learn some things. And then for the second half, we're beach slugs.
That's nice. That's really nice.
Yeah.
But this is your first time leaving the country since COVID, right?
Since 2019. That was our last vacation, was in 2019.
So that's got to be pretty exciting. Are you nervous at all after, are you feel out of practice?
Well, I can remember back in the day when flying was actually fun. And flying hasn't been fun for a long time. Now it's just a pain in the neck.
What do you mean by fun?
There wasn't so much waiting. You didn't have to be there 3 hours ahead of time. You didn't have to wait. And although we have TSA pre-check and all that stuff, so we can get through some of the lines a little bit faster.
Well, and also I'm assuming he's not a U.S. citizen, that he's still
he's an EU citizen.
Yeah. So you guys can skip through those lines once you're entering Europe.
Into England, yep. And there's always the chance that one of my fellow passengers is going to lose their you-know-what, and I'm going to have to duct tape them to their seat.
Well, have you not been on a plane since 2020 at all?
No.
So you haven't really, you've only seen stories of how nuts people are. I would say in the handful of flights I've taken since 2020, there's only been one time that someone was
nuts.
So you don't assume that it's going to happen. It's one of those things where the reporting of it is maybe not proportionate to like how the percentage of it is actually still quite small.
Well, okay, I'll take that. I still think if it's going to happen, it's going to happen on our flight right next to me.
It might.
I'll have duct tape. I'll be good.
There you go. There, yeah, just make sure it's in your carry-on.
It's all good.
All right. Well, tomorrow we will be on site. Well, Jane will be in the studio. I will be on site with Greg Bach at Whitetail, broadcasting live from downtown Milwaukee, doing a lot of debate stuff. Excited to hear your thoughts on what you want to hear. What moves the needle for you? Are you going to watch it all? But we will do that tomorrow. Make sure you tune in. We've got a lot of fun coming up tomorrow. It's going to be a big day. So thank you for our guests today. Thank you to everyone who made it such a great show and calling in and texting in. And we'll be back tomorrow. This has been As It Goes Wisconsin.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5.